afternoon. Today is Thursday, May the 29th, 143rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, what title do we go with here? Wannabe Deacon?
Direct. Yeah, that'll work.
Okay. Director. Wannabe Deacon out of Fortuna, Craig Brown.
Hello, Brian.
Yeah. We start off high and we just go from there, huh?
Yeah.
It's
perfect.
Oh, I remember we had a cool conversation a couple months ago when you were here, but for the life of me, I have no idea what the content was. Do you?
Probably religion.
Yeah, probably religion.
Or St. Bernard's Catholic Schools.
I think it was more the other side.
We got Spacey.
Well, good.
If that's the one you're thinking of. We're talking about the salvation event. Is it transferable to other planets?
I know what we can talk about. I got something. I got an email from somebody in the Midwest that's got me going. We'll talk about my little secret when we come back.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Craig Brown from wherever he is. But before we do...
God only knows.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how it is in a whole bunch of ways, isn't it? Yeah. let's see. Here you go. Douglas MacArthur. Quote, "You're remembered for the rules you break."
Oh.
Kind of an interesting...
I can test
a little
to that.
Martin Luther thing, huh?
He broke a few.
Yeah. Couple. When people think of the Catholic Church, why isn't there a connection that it's the Mother Church? Or if we're going to use a botanical reference. The taproot, right? Everything came from it and then has spurred off other religions as well as other denominations of Christianity. Is there just not a connection, or do people not feel comfortable going, what's that about?
Holy cow, that's only 500, 600, 700 years of history. Let's see, starting back in 1584. Well, I think one reason probably is that this country was established by Protestant settlers. It was predominantly a Protestant movement across the Atlantic from England and Europe that established the colonies. So our culture is largely Protestant Christian. And because it's not called the Protestant Revolution for nothing.
I thought it was Reformation.
No, the Reformation.
You got Revolution too.
The Reformation is the Catholic response to the Protestant splitting. So that was the church trying to reform itself to meet some of the critics of the Catholic Church at the time. So I think it's largely that. We're a Protestant culturally in many ways.
So other cultures recognize that connection?
If you go to Spain, I think it'd be a lot.
Well, I don't know. In Spain, do they recognize anything other than the Catholic Church?
Well, they recognize
maybe a little bit of Islam, but that's about it.
That's my point, though, is culturally that's predominantly Catholic, and so there'd probably be a different flavor to their dialogue with those things.
What sense do you have with all the new, I don't want to say new churches, because that could be perceived as being negative, and I don't mean it that way, but of the current evolution of some of the various churches, still Christian denomination, that have happened in the last 125 years or so. Where's that come from? What's the stem of that?
Well, I can tell you, when I first moved up here, I was a journalist working with a local newspaper, And
is it still in business?
No, it's been subsumed by the Time Standard. It was the Humboldt Beacon.
Okay.
And it was a weekly at the time. Pat O'Dell and Dwight O'Dell, those guys. But one of the first stories I covered in Fortuna was the breakup of one of the major churches in Fortuna. And the pastor and the assistant pastor had a disagreement over some doctrine or dogma, and the associate pastor decided he needed to walk away. He couldn't pastor in that church anymore because of the difference of opinion. About half of the congregation followed the associate pastor away, and he started his own church. And that, to me, was an illustration of what's been happening since the Protestant Revolution with Martin Luther, is that, and it goes back to, I think, the Catholic doctrine of original sin. We just have a hard time getting along. And a lot of us become so enamored with our own views and our own opinions that we can't brook any disagreement with our opinions or doctrines or dogmas or rules and regulations, and that forces us to split our communities. And I think that's what's happening. The church, in one way, the church has been dividing and dividing and dividing, like amoeba-like, into smaller and smaller groups and more individual communities. But in other ways, there's been a re-approachment, sort of. How do you say that? Re-approachement.
Well, I, you know, for me, of course, I don't really understand an awful lot of it. Where is the empowerment to say, oh, I don't like this church, I'm going to go and develop my own church? I mean, just the personal self-confidence.
Yeah, how do you
to do that is just something I don't think a lot of us can really wrap our hands around.
Yeah, I know what God's will is. Why don't you believe me? Well, it's human nature. We sometimes think so much of ourselves, and wow, I hope I don't tick anybody off. It is. This is way too slow for radio. It's way.
It's okay, we could all hear those wheels churning.
If you could only grinding. It's ego, I guess. It's a lack of humility, and humility is not a characteristic that our culture nurtures and rewards very much. You know, talking trash in sports, you know, that's maybe not exactly applauded and rewarded, but it certainly gets people notoriety, gets them the public spotlight,
or at least blowing into guys' faces.
Blowing into
you
guys'
see it
faces.
Last night?
No,
the guy who was guarding LeBron James blew into his face a couple times during free throws.
Oh, that's a way to get somebody's attention.
Yeah, it's 3:19.
Or distract their attention.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, KWSW980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Craig Brown. Craig, today, for some, is the day or the Feast of Ascension. What is that?
The Ascension of Christ happens 40 days after Easter Sunday, and it recognizes the event told to us in the scriptures of Jesus leaving this earth bodily and spiritually under his own power. That's an important point to make, that he takes himself up to heaven where he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And then 10 days from now will be Pentecost, which is when he sends the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, and begins the church officially.
So why isn't today celebrated by the church and culturally as Christmas, as Easter? I would think that this, you know, there's a big three, okay,
it's
big three. But why hasn't it taken on some of the magnitude, I guess, that some of the other religious holidays have?
Well, there's a lot of events in the life of Christ that aren't.
You're really glad you didn't have me in class, huh? I may have been represented, but you didn't have me.
I spent three whole class periods 1 year trying to convince, I think it was a sophomore class, trying to get them to understand the difference or how it could work that God is eternal, so he lives in time, all time at the same time, and knows everything that's going to happen and has happened and will happen. And at the same time, we have free will and we can make any choice and decision we want. And how that works, that God knows what decisions we're going to make, but we make them anyway, and he doesn't stop us from making mistakes. To get them to understand how that took three full 45-minute periods, and I'm not sure I was successful.
Still anyway, haven't recovered, have you?
I know. But it's an interesting distinction to make. You would have been that guy in the class, though. That would
you
have
think?
You have to ask him, why, Mr. Brown? How does that work? Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. Ascension is just one of the many events in Christ's life that the church celebrates, but Christmas and Easter are the two that everything else would not have happened unless that happened, that Christ was incarnated on earth, celebrated at Christmas, and that he was resurrected from the dead, which is Easter Sunday. Everything else is important, but those two are the linchpins or the foundation. So,
of course, if he hadn't gone to heaven, it'd be all for naught.
You're right. Yeah, we wouldn't go there either.
Sorry, I see this is one of those those major events.
It is all major.
One of the things I think a lot of folks will have some question about, and you mentioned Easter and Christmas, how do we know what day those are? With the changes of the calendar and different interpretations of what was when, and do we really know?
We don't really know, no.
Doesn't matter.
There is not it's almost Obama and Christ have this in common. There's birth certificate questions.
You're right. You're taking everybody down today, aren't you?
But we don't. There are no historical records indicating that Jesus was born on December 25th in the year, 3 A.D. or 6 A.D., somewhere in there. So what happened, and I was just talking to the kids about this, is December 25th in Southern European cultures, pre-Christian times, celebrated that time of year, the end of December, as a feast of the return of the sun and coming of light. And so the church used that pagan holiday as a way to evangelize those people and talk to them about, okay, you recognize light, you recognize the importance of the sun, and well, Jesus is the Son of God.
We just spell it differently.
And they use that. We just changed the vowel in the middle, and it's good. So it was an evangelization or a missionary tool to use, and it became tradition in Europe, and it just caught on, I guess you could say. And then the church has done that a lot of times, and they still do that. And Pope Francis and Pope Benedict XVI and Pope John Paul II all called for this new evangelization, a rekindling of the effort of the Christian world to talk to people about what we believe and why it is good news, which is what gospel means. And one of the ways the church does that is the only way you can do it is to talk to people from where they're at. You can't bludgeon people into understanding Jesus loves them and God loves them and what his life meant.
Well, the Crusades kind of proved the fallacy in that one.
Yeah, it did. It was a well-meaning attempt, but you just can't do that. It's a counter to the gospel message. So you use where the culture is that you're trying to work in and trying to get them to understand who Christ is and what it means for us. And so you use their cultural baggage to form a vocabulary that can be shared between the two sides. So that's where. And then Easter was just a matter of, kind of the same thing, actually, spring festivals.
Do we know that Bethlehem?
Yes, that's pretty sure.
Was, and Jerusalem was, and the Mount of Olives, and some of those, that stuff's pretty well locked down.
Pretty historic and archaeological. Yeah, that's you can buy that.
What level of the town?
Of either one of them. Yeah, that's another one of my personal loves: archaeology, stratigraphy. So you dig down and things get layered up over time, and so the deeper you are, the older it is. That's pretty pretty basic archaeology.
Oh, that's also in education, too.
Thank you.
PhD.
Pretty hard.
Piled higher and deeper. Boy, that was an easy one to hook you on,
wasn't it? We're all getting our PhD today.
KINS, News and Information Time is 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Craig Brown from St. Bernard's. And on the how close are you to your, it's not deaconhood, diacon?
Ordination.
Okay.
I'll be ordained a deacon with God's grace in about 2 years, just ending our third year now.
Ah, cool.
So, more years.
Then I'll probably have to have a little bit more respect for you, huh?
I would hope.
Hope's a key ingredient in this one. What are some of the most common asked questions at school from the international kids regarding Catholicism or even more basic Christianity?
Well, the first one they ask is, who's Jesus? And so we have to start with most of them with just defining the man and the times he lived in. So that's the first one. And then there are a lot of questions about the idea of the individual human worth as the basis for a lot of what the church teaches about social justice, especially.
So even some basic stuff with, like, American government, you know, the recognition that...
Yeah, and we do...
Those connections.
We touch on that the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and all that, a lot of the Renaissance would not have been possible without the Christian message that each individual human has worth and dignity inherent just by the fact that they are created by God.
And that's a tough one culturally for some of the kids?
That is, because it's kind of counter to the communist message, which the people in People's Republic are still living on, even though it's not...
The legacy of Mao still is there.
Yeah, and the Marxist and Leninist message of you know, the whole communist message.
Now, what about the Japanese kids?
I don't know them.
Okay.
I don't think we've ever had a Japanese
Korean?
Student. South Korea is a little better. It's a little more Buddhist. Because communist China doesn't even... The Buddhist influence is pretty non-existent. A lot of the older, like these kids' grandparents, still go to the temple and observe Buddhist holidays, but most of their parents probably don't. They're just materialists. The South Korea still has a more strong Buddhist influence, so there is a lot you can translate from Buddhism to, not a lot, but some, enough to start a conversation anyway.
So the concept of an individual person's worth, or... Yeah. Soul, I guess, would be mm-hmm. another way to say it. For those who are at school who are not Catholic, do most of the Christian tenets mm-hmm. apply?
Yeah. The most Christian churches are what you'd call creedal churches. They I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. The creed, the Nicene
but
creed,
but not the Holy Spirit.
Most Christian churches are Trinitarian.
Okay.
Yeah, Father, God exists as three persons and one divine being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there is incredible dialogue there. But one of the things you mentioned during the break about the lack of detailed knowledge about the faith is one of the things the church is struggling with, and a lot of the Protestant churches do a much better job than the Catholic Church does as far as adult religious education. So the simplified message you were talking about during the break is something you give the kids at Sunday school. because you just wanted to get started thinking about it and form a relationship with Jesus. So you just give them the basic outline, kind of. But the intellectual history of Christianity is incredibly rich, and the archaeological and historical details that you can get, like I said, for me, was one of the things that led to my conversion, was this, the way it ties into history and archaeology and the fact that science and religion don't have to conflict if you understand both of them enough.
Of course, Da Vinci kind of took it on the chin on that one.
Da Vinci?
Yeah.
Did he get in trouble with Rome?
A couple
of scientists did. I know Galileo had his struggles.
Yeah. Flat to start with?
Oh.
Round and flat?
Flat versus round, yeah. That was a huge argument for a couple of centuries.
So when people will bring up some of those aspects of the battle between, not battle.
Disagreements.
Perhaps, yeah.
Misunderstandings.
Between science, technology, and theology. Obviously, we figured out ways that they can coexist. Can the two truths coexist simultaneously?
Absolutely. Truth cannot be contradicted, whether it's scientific truth or spiritual truth. There can't be any contradiction with truth. And I wish I had the facts in front of me, but
you guys, everybody missed the head roll on that one. That was a beautiful thing.
I don't want to get in water over my head, but the Galileo controversy, he was under house arrest for several years, and a lot of that, and see, again, I wish, a lot of that didn't have so much to do with his scientific theories about the solar system and where the planets revolve and what's at the center, but it was something closer to doctrine and dogma that he wrote in his theses that the church disagreed with, and he wouldn't retract. So it wasn't so much that his scientific theories that the church was trying to get him to come to grips with, but it's something more. And I wish I could. And I've just confused.
You'll be loaded for the next time.
I will. I'll look that up.
Then you won't give me carte blanche to take shots here. KINS News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Craig Brown.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 345. Quick thing towards graduation. Graduation's coming up for SB on the Saturday.
It is
the 14th?
The 14th, 10 o'clock at Sacred Heart Church. When 11 o'clock in the morning.
11 o'clock?
Yeah. That's high school graduation. Eighth grade graduation is Thursday night.
We hope.
Fair enough. But it's coming up quick.
Yeah, I can see you're getting ready for the role of Jesus this summer in the Messiah. Letting the beard and the hair go a little early, dude.
Yeah, we're all thankful it's not television.
Yeah, tell me. Kind of continuing in our little educational series, the Pope is selected by the cardinals.
Cardinals of the church.
Okay, and the cardinals are selected bishops.
Right.
Okay.
Bishops who have done great service to the church.
When did that start? The reason I ask is because you go back and there are some popes that were put into place because of either Rome or because of kings.
Yeah.
And pulling influence, and they weren't chosen, they were installed. A little bit different.
Absolutely.
Approach.
Sometimes
than what
under
it is
arms.
Now.
Yeah, it is the Middle Ages was an incredible messy time for everybody, including the church. And it was a pretty rough and tumble process sometimes, and it has become a lot more civilized in the last couple hundred years.
Or at least it's behind the doors.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's why
we
they
really
close the doors.
Know,
we
though.
Don't know
yeah.
how civilized it is, but it's become more regularized and codified in the last few last hundred, couple hundred years.
What does Pope, the name or the title, mean?
Papa, daddy.
So
from the Latin, il papa, pope.
And cardinal?
Cardinal, il cardinale. I know.
a red bird in the Midwest. Yeah, okay, good.
Cardinal. Yeah, I don't know. But I know the office of cardinal predates the name of the color, cardinal red.
Oh, really?
And it comes from the color of their robes.
And that became the color. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, and then they saw a bird with the same color, and they called that bird the cardinal. So, cardinale. Anybody speaking Italian, call in.
Yeah. I got the etymology right here.
Sure, if you can do it in 20 seconds or less.
All right, I got the etymology right here from the online etymology dictionary. Cardinal, chief or pivotal from the early 14th century Latin. Principal, chief, essential, also that on which something turns or depends, like a pole in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
Or right. Like the Pope of the Church, yeah.
Oh, I knew that. The cardinal.
Oh, sure. How many tests have you given over the years you said that what the answer was and the kid does that and you go, yeah, right.
There's the cardinal virtues, and they're called cardinal virtues because they're the virtues upon which all other virtues depend or hinge upon.
Same with cardinal sin?
Yeah. They're the main sins out of which all the other more petty sins come.
Emanate?
Emanate.
How's
Thank
that
you.
For a fancy
Excellent.
Word?
What's the etymology of emanate? No.
Is it fair now to say that the Pope is the holiest of the Church, or the one that everybody can agree upon to lead the Church, or majority can?
I would, as a lay person, I would say that the Pope is the one that the Holy Spirit has led the church leaders to select. That his degree of holiness is not, we're not saying that the Pope is the holiest person in the world. We're saying that because of the Holy Spirit's authority given to the church, the collective body of people, that he was selected through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be the man that needs to lead the church at this time. And that he is given upon his ordination as Pope the authority of the Holy Spirit to make decisions about morals and ethics and spirituality that are infallible, that are absolutely true.
Another springboard for the summertime. Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
We've been Talking Shop with Craig Brown. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone, yell at, see you tomorrow.